This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And we are here.
We try to keep that informing bit to the low side, definitely.
That's what the guests are for.
That's right.
They do the informing.
And speaking of informing, we have Alan Cook with us. And he's going to tell us about an airplane for the National Lao Hmong Museum. Good morning.
Good morning.
First, you're going to have to explain what the Lao Hmong Museum is about.
Well, it's actually the National Lao Hmong Memorial that we're working on building in Westminster, Colorado, to bring awareness to what the Lao people went through during what we call the Secret War. And there's a large group of Lao or Hmong people have migrated to the United States. There's a large group here in Wisconsin, and there's a large group in Denver area. And there is a small memorial with a T-28 already in Sheboygan, and we want to build one in Denver.
Okay. For those people who don't understand, the Lao Hmong helped us fight in Cambodia and Laos when technically we weren't supposed to be there.
That's correct. So the Laos was a neutral country during the Vietnam War, and a lot of supplies for the communists were going through that area. And so the CIA went in and funded basically a war, supplied the airplanes and bombs and money to pay for the soldiers' salaries. And the Hmong people were originally farmers, and they learned how to fly and ran bombing missions to support the U.S.
That's pretty wild.
Would this be considered a part of Air America by any chance?
It's not. No, it's separate from, well, it's similar, but not quite the same as Air America. The whole purpose of the Laotians were to be able to attack the targets in their own country so that we could keep everything separate. They one of the big things there is the pilots would work 5 to 10 missions a day. Some would even fly up to 15 missions a day. So, for a normal pilot, an Air Force pilot or military pilot that we have now, we would think that's insane.
But, it is.
Those guys were, hard-pressed to try and do what they could to save their country.
Right, right. It's different when you're defending your own soil.
It is. You have to consider, too, the airplane that they were flying, T-28. Not exactly a modern jet fighter plane now, is it?
No, and actually, it was originally designed to be a trainer. And so it was modified to drop bombs and rockets, and that's what they had to use. So they had a primitive, compared to our standards, primitive weapons.
Yeah, but the slow loiter time and all that gave them the ability to stay over a target and hopefully lay waste to it.
Yeah.
But how many of those pilots were lost?
So over the course of the war, about 10,000... Or I'm sorry, about 30,000 of the Hmong people died.
Now, that's crazy because we claim that we lost 50,000.
Yeah.
So almost as much. In a war that didn't exist.
In a war that did not exist, yeah. That is correct.
Yeah.
And then after the war, when the U.S. pulled out, we just left those people there. And the communist regime moved in, and they were basically persecuted.
Right.
And so at that point, a lot of them tried to escape over to Thailand and find refuge there. And a lot of them lost everything that they had. One of our members of our board told the story of people would take everything they had that was anything of value and tried to cross the river. Well, there would be people robbing all these people at the river because they knew if they were trying to escape that they're going to have valuables.
Right.
And so then they would lose everything.
Hmm. Hard to imagine that.
I just can't believe that would happen. But there it is. And, of course, this is going on concurrently with our efforts over in South Vietnam.
Correct.
So there's us fighting the big war, and the Hmong are fighting a war almost as big. But nobody knows about it.
Exactly.
You never heard about it on the evening news.
No. That's why we refer to it as the Secret War.
Yeah.
And we're just trying to bring some light to it.
Now, there was a group called the Ravens that also was over there. That was a U.S. pilot. Yep. Did they work with the Hmong? Do you know?
No. The Hmong basically worked on their own because they wanted to try and, we wanted to try and keep everything separate so there wasn't any ties back.
Okay. Yeah. Plausible deniability.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until, a long time later that we finally got recognition of what was going on over there. and the Hmong people finally were able to get some recognition.
And how many are in the country now?
So right now there's probably about 500,000 people that are from Hmong descent living in the U.S. And they've really pursued and achieved high levels of education and are really doing a lot to promote or give back to their local communities.
Is it a situation where they can now go back to their country and visit family if they want to, if there's any family there?
I'm not sure. I know I really haven't talked to anybody that has any ties back to Laos, but I know that everybody that's here, they're a very, very tight-knit community. And still, if you're in with the community, you're in with the community. If you're out, you're out.
Right.
And so we really need to do what we can to support them in their history and how they've supported the U.S.
Right, and at least understand what they did.
Exactly.
Well, you know, one of the big tourist industries over there right now is Vietnam War tours. You can actually go up and visit the Hanoi Hilton, among other places. And I'm just wondering if ever there's going to be an opportunity to do the same thing for the Hmong, for them to go back, visit their homeland, and see where some of their epic battles were fought.
I don't know. That's a good idea, though. That would be nice. I'm sure they'd love to be able to go back to where, you know, their ancestors are from and explore a little bit.
I guess that mostly depends on the political climate in Laos. I don't know anything about the current situation.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't either.
Yeah, probably tricky.
So you got yourself a T-28 that you're going to be restoring, and then it's going to be put as the centerpiece of the museum. Are you taking this aircraft out on tour to air shows across the country?
Well, we are hoping to bring it here this year, but we've had some delays in the paint shop. But yes, we'll hopefully have it out and flying in the next couple of weeks, and then the plan will be to fly it around to different air shows for people to see the airplane and the Royal Laos paint scheme, and use that as a tool to help bring more awareness to our group, and help so we can help fundraise to build a memorial in Westminster, Colorado.
Okay.
Why Westminster, Colorado? Of all the cities throughout the country, why there?
We actually have a very large Hmong population there, and so that's why we wanted to put it right there. And we're going to put it, I think it's going to be right there next to a Air Force memorial, so that way we can have the contrast between the U.S. memorial and the Hmong memorial, and use that as an educational tool to help bring more awareness to what happened over there.
Now, I guess did they come up against enemy aircraft over there?
Yeah, they actually had to fight enemy aircraft, so there were aces and everything over there, too.
Wow. So I thought it was maybe just ground war only, trying to stop supply lines, as you said.
Yeah.
Well, they weren't putting this T-28 up against a MiG or anything, were they?
Not on purpose, I imagine, but I'm sure it happened.
Probably not by choice. But yeah, it was kind of on the job training over there, so you'd get somebody who was originally a farmer and you'd teach you how to fly. And the nice thing about the T-28, you know, you got the trainer seat, so you just take people along with you on the training missions while you're actually going out and doing your bombing.
Yeah, and here if you see one of these Russian planes, press this button.
That's right. This is what you're going to do to fight back.
Wow.
I don't know. I can't see taking a T-28 up against a MiG, but, you know, if you got it, you got to.
Yeah, you don't have a chance or choice sometimes.
I was going to say, I don't know if it's so much as up against the MiG as attempting to run away from the MiG.
Well, you're never going to run away from the MiG. The best you're going to do is outmaneuver it because
exactly.
You're slower.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
You can exploit that somehow.
Yeah, mission wasn't to fight the air wars, to try and interrupt the supply lines.
Right.
Yeah, but still,
apparently, like you said, there were aces. So apparently they took some air war. They did some air fighting.
Yeah, if they had to.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't imagine the first day of flight school with them, you know, the instructor's trying to explain, this is a tractor, this is an airplane. It's a tractor with wings.
It must have been interesting for the trainers to have to learn about the culture to work with the people.
I think that would be the biggest part.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you can't just come in and say, this is what it is. You have to work from their point of view.
Right, right. This is here. You're going to fly today. Forget that plow thing.
But not only that, but the ability for them to adjust and be able to start doing missions like that, flying an airplane and being able to do these bombing runs is amazing on their part.
Yeah, it's a totally foreign skill set.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what they first thought when they saw the airplane initially and realizing, hey, we're going to learn to fly this thing and take it into combat. It had to have been overwhelming for them.
Oh, I'm sure it was. I just learned how to fly it, and when I first saw it, it was overwhelming to me.
And nobody was shooting at you.
And nobody was shooting at me.
Yeah, exactly.
That makes a big difference, too.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, you get good quick.
Yeah, or else.
Yeah. Where can we find you on the field?
So we don't have the airplane on the field, but we do have a website. It's lao-mengmemorial.org.
You better spell Hmong.
Yep, that's got an H in front of it.
Right.
So it's H-M-O-N-G. So it's Lao, L-A-O, dash, H-M-O-N-G, M-E-M-O-R-I-A-L.org.
There you go. All right. Alan, I'd like to thank you for joining us. It's been very educational. And we could talk for another, 6 days.
7 days.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
I'm Fast Eddie.
And I'm Digital Dave.
And this is EAA Radio.